there is like this concreteness with Santa, even as an adult. Like, you know what to ask for, and then Santa brings you something. Whereas with spirituality and the celebration of Christ in the world, it's so much more ethereal and abstract. And so it's not just difficult, I think, explaining it to children. I think it's difficult to kind of wrap our own heads around it all the time. And so maybe I think part of the blessing of Santa is that it's a reminder that, like, we don't have to make it all the time so complicated. I think you have to be careful with how simple you make it too, but this is the gift of the Christmas season to me. We work up till Advent for 4 weeks, and then Christmas Day comes, and it feels like this huge crash for me. You've done all this preparation. I've been anxious, wound up, excited, all of the emotions, and then it's done. It feels like poof. And what we come to church, I think, for is the reminder of, and Fiona says, you say this every year, Mom, which is the tone she's saying it in, is a reminder that it's not helpful, but that Christmas is a season, that it's not over in one day, that it continues to go on. But here is what I hate about the secular piece of that, which seems to take up the most space in my brain. The time doesn't stop when Advent or Christmas is happening. Like, when we're getting ready for Christmas, in our culture, we're also getting ready for the end of the year. So there's church conference reports, there's end of the year reports, there's budgets to set, there's pledge campaigns to happen. So all of this stuff is happening in the background of Christmas preparations. But what the blessing of Christmas to me is that in the background, because everybody's focus is on Christmas preparations, because everybody's doing that together, it's culturally appropriate to put things, even though they're very important, to the back burner for a while. Like, we understand that we all have things that we need to do, that we all need to be with family, that we all need to attend Christmas parties or functions, that we all have different traditions that take precedent over finalizing budgets or writing reports, that the things that matter most during the Christmas season, we're all as a culture supporting each other and paying attention to. And then January comes, the wet blanket of all the months of the year. The point at which we come crashing down with the heaviness of gravity after 4 weeks of talking about the cosmos and the beauty of the stars and how everything is wonderful and fabulous. All of reality comes back and you realize that there are still bills to pay. There are still school schedules that our kids have to get back to. All of the stuff that we were able to kind of set aside comes back with so much ferocity. I enter January with an incredible amount of animosity for the audacity of January's arrival. Who does January think it is? As if January are the parents that arrive early home from vacation and have to end the party that was supposed to go all night. So thanks for ruining everything, January. It's not just me, I've discovered when I was preparing for this message, that experiences this Christmas come down, this post-holiday blues. Apparently there are 64% of other people in our country, according to the American National Alliance of Mental Illness. These symptoms include insomnia, low energy, irritability, difficulty concentrating, and anxiousness, which is interesting because those are also all of the things I experience as I'm getting ready for Christmas. Just they feel fun then. Anticipation and experience of the holiday season can cause neurological changes, this article wrote. We get these big releases of dopamine. The rewards. We're eating sugary foods, they like to remind us in the article, which I wasn't even thinking about and now feel guilty about. but they stimulate the brain's pleasure experience. We have all of these wonderful traditional memories that we can think forward to that provide us with all of this dopamine release. And then once the holidays are over and those memories are really just memories, we come crashing down. And this is my Christmas come down. With 64% of other people who may or may not be represented in this room, this is the moment that I realized that the big push to Christmas Eve was just a big slide into a million things I fell behind on when all of the Christmas glitter got stuck in my eyes. It's a hard hit of reality after a sugar rush that lasts from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. And this is what makes Psalm 148 so insulting. The instruction to stop and praise. It feels like it just adds just that much more weight to an already heavy Christmas hangover. Psalm 148, a series of psalms about praising. And in this passage, we'll see that praise occurs 11 times as a verb and once as a noun, followed by the listing of beings, heavenly and earthly, and things animate and inanimate that are invited to praise God, including us, which makes me feel bad because now everyone and everything is doing something I should be doing but don't feel like doing at all. When we come back down to earth from the heights of Christmas clouds and we hear a message of Psalm 148, now is the time to rejoice. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. The people close to his heart. This to me feels like the part that's hard to stay connected to after Christmas. But in Christmas, we are surrounded in a culture of generosity, family time, gathering, sentiment, tradition. Participation is so natural because everyone is doing it. And if you aren't doing it, well, then that's a whole nother form of depression. But this is exactly what is happening in Psalm 148, but on a cosmic level. Everyone, everything praises God, the people, the world, the beings, inanimate and animate, close to God's heart. For we are reminded that in the embodiment, the manifestation of Christ into the world, God expands the light to highlight all that is created, all that is being created to surround us, to love us. In a season where we have lived in this zero gravity world, we are reminded that there are limits and cost to being in that headspace. In zero gravity, we experience bone loss. We experience the shifting of our fluids from the bottom half to the top half so that often you can't stand for more than 10 minutes without help. Does that sound familiar after Christmas? The Earth's stress of gravity is what keeps our bones strong. In space or any weightlessness environment, bones undergo little, if any, stress. And we arrive back down to earth after Christ is born, sitting in a manger, realizing that all of this is real. We realize that we are left with the reality that Christ is here and things are the same. And we are the ones who carry the star within us. We are called to be the light. We're called to remember that praise is worth happening even after the glitter of the season is gone. What we pay attention to in the aftermath of Christmas and the beginning of the new year is what will grow. What we give more weight to, how we make decisions, what we get caught up in, and we have a choice. Because matter does not disappear. We have the ability to shape and shift where our lives gravitate towards. Objects with more mass have more gravity. And the more gravity we have, the closer we are drawn to our own center. But the trick is knowing what our center feels like. The experience of being grounded, of standing steady, of not being so wound up and anxious and excited, but maybe feeling content, maybe feeling peaceful, maybe knowing that in the midst of whatever comes, we have something that we can count on. And what we can count on is what all of creation is praising: the arrival of light, the presence of hope, and the possibility of joy. Amen.